need me to call her dad, that's the thing. And I don't know how you house the sin. I was never sure how much of you I could let in.
Can you hear me now? Can you? Welcome to the Movie Ladder Podcast. We're all about cinematic connections. Each week, we're discussing a movie that connects to the movie from the previous week's podcast. My name is Zach Brooks, and once again, I am joined by...
Brenna Fitzpatrick, and yes, I can hear you.
You can hear me. Are you my are you my chaplain, or are you my assistant coach? How is the structure?
Well, I think I'm more your spiritual guide, yeah.
You're the one who's always like, hey, watch your mouth, man.
Language. It's the Captain America gift from Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah, that's true. So last week we talked about, speaking of language, The Damned United with our soccer expert, Anthony D'Angelo. And this week, due to, I think the connection is probably like an embattled coach connection.
Embattled is a good word.
Embattled, yeah, that was the one I came up with. We will be discussing The Way Back, starring Ben Affleck, from way back in March of 2020. Came out right before the world turned upside down. So then at the end of this episode, we will decide on next week's movie based on connections sent in from you, the listeners, and us, your hosts. And we will be spoiling The Way Back. So if you haven't watched it yet, we'll put a timestamp so you can jump to the ladder connection at the end of the podcast. So you can just check the description for when we will start that. But this is streaming on Amazon Prime for one more day. It is leaving at the end of the month.
HBO Max for one more day.
I knew you were going to screw that up, and I was waiting.
Busted.
I had so much gusto going in. Yes, on HBO Max. Maybe it's going to Amazon Prime.
Like an overconfident, high-seeded pick in the NCAA tournament. You got overconfident.
I tried to dunk that one and just got rejected by the rim.
No good.
Yes.
No good.
I'll try that again. So it is streaming on HBO Max for one more day. So we're probably releasing this on March 30th. You have until, I think, probably the end of the day on March 31st to watch The Way Back on HBO Max for free. Otherwise, you're going to have to pay to rent it or get it from your library. So go do that if you haven't yet. Yeah. Why is it leaving HBO Max? It's a Warner Brothers movie.
I have no idea. It's probably just a rights issue they hadn't worked out yet. But you would think that it probably will eventually come back and go into the archive on HBO Max. It's probably...
Well, I thought the whole point of these streaming services was that HBO Max has the whole Warner library, and this is a Warner Brothers picture.
Right, but I think this came out before the deal was struck of what they were going to keep on in HBO Max for an extended period of time and what they weren't.
I guess it's just like how movies would be on HBO and then leave. It's just that kind of HBO model. Exactly. But yeah, I would be curious when it's going to come back, because since I thought the whole point of HBO Max was that is the repository of Warner Brothers streaming, just like Paramount Plus would be the repository of Paramount streaming.
Yeah, I imagine whenever they do a director's cut DVD of this, we'll see it again on HBO Max.
Ooh,
like
director's
that.
Cut this. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Release the Affleck cut.
Oh my God, yes. maybe that's the case. So if you do want to stay on top of everything going on with this podcast, make sure you're subscribed and you follow us on Twitter at Ladder Movie, and you email us, themovieladder@gmail.com. Send us your funny notes, your connections for next week based on the movie that we decide on, your ratings, all of that good stuff. And follow us on Letterboxd as well. We are on there, so you can see all the movies that we've posted, and you can see our previous year's ladder, this year's ladder, so you can see everything that we've covered. And if you click into our reviews for each movie, you can actually click and see a link to the podcast to listen to it. So it's all set up with tons of functionality with Letterboxd right now.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, want to talk about the best thing we watched this week?
I would love to. Speaking of the Affleck cut, I did watch the Snyder cut on Sunday. I'm going to keep this brief, unlike the Snyder cut itself. What was this movie a million times better than the Joss Whedon Justice League that came out in 2017? Yes. Was it worth the 4 hours I spent on it? I'm still not sure. The jury's still out. There's certainly, like, my review of the 2017 Justice League was, there is a good movie in here somewhere, and I think that's still my review for the 4-hour Snyder Cut. There is a good version of this movie in there somewhere where you can just lock off about 45 to 50 minutes of this movie and have a much tighter, much more engrossing superhero film that is leaps and bounds better than both the Whedon cut and the original take of the Snyder Cut. But there were parts I really, really enjoyed. I watched it throughout the day on Sunday, kept pausing to do laundry and stuff, and then coming back to it. And I think that's sort of how you have to approach a 4-hour movie, is have a Sunday afternoon blocked out and just take your time with it.
Depends on the movie, because I think that there's a lot of really good movies that are, you know, that are those long 4-hour length movies, and you need to just be invested and engrossed in them.
That's true.
But I don't think the Snyder Cut is the movie you need to be engrossed in.
Right, exactly. And also, it gives you nice little pause points.
Yes.
By dividing itself up into chapters. So every 40 minutes or so, there's a little chapter break, and you can take a break and go do whatever you need to do, grab a snack or whatever.
Yeah, I wish that they would make a TV show version of this. Like, even if it was just the menu on HBO Max, so you could click, like, episode 1, episode 2. Because I've watched the first 2 chapters, and I've also seen the epilogue, because right. My brother was watching it, and I, like, came up and downstairs. So I still need to see everything in the middle, and I, at some point, would like to go back to it. I just...
Yeah. And the stuff in the middle is definitely the best part. Yeah. The stuff in the middle is definitely the best part. The cool thing is that it does have, if you, like, hit the down button on your remote, it has little diamond
marks. Oh, it does. Oh, that's nice.
In the progress bar of where each chapter starts.
Oh, that's good.
So
that's
if
good
you
need
to jump to a chapter, you can, you know, pick which diamonds you want to jump to and go for it. But yeah, I mean, if people are into superhero movies and they have the time for a 4-hour Snyder Cut, definitely watch it. I think I gave Justice League a 3 stars when I saw it in 2017, and I would probably give the Snyder Cut 3.5. So I mean, it's just a cut above, pun intended. Mm-hmm. But you know, I can definitely see the differences. There's not a lot of Whedon's movie left in there. You can really see what Snyder was going for. But,
yeah, I was really distracted watching it, trying to remember what was in the original versus what was new, because it's been so long since I saw the last one. And you know, my takeaway from it was, like, it looks cool. It is so aggressive with the Snyderism and the way it looks visually, and the slow motion and the obscure angles and the coloring. And I wasn't having a ton of fun watching it, but I was interested.
Yeah, I was interested in it. I wasn't having a lot of fun. It's very aggressive. I agree. Those are all good adjectives.
Well, speaking of movies that are very aggressively styled, I will talk about my movie, which is a 2020 movie. It's up for a bunch of awards, including Best Picture, and that is Promising Young Woman. Now, I don't think this is actually streaming for free anywhere yet, but I would imagine it will be before the Oscars start. Mm-hmm. And this was just very – I wrote a pretty long review of it on Letterboxd, and there is a ton to chew on in this movie.
Okay.
It would be a very interesting movie to do a whole podcast on, but not really a great movie for two guys to weigh in with their perspective, because it really is so much about trauma from sexual assault. And, you know, I don't want to get too much into it to spoil it, but the whole movie is really about trauma, and, you know, not just trauma for the victims of sexual assault, but trauma for people who are tangentially involved as well. Are there. So it's something that could be triggering for people to see, but the way it is presented and the way the movie is done is it's very thriller. It's got some black comedy in it. So it's not super depressing. And it's got some really, really good twists along the way.
I remember seeing the trailer for it before a movie I saw late last year, before lockdown and quarantine and everything. I don't remember what movie I might have seen it before. But I remember seeing the trailer last year for it in the theaters and going, this is interesting, but I'm not sure, like, who this is for, what movie this is. And so I've been, like, pleasantly surprised and want to check it out by the critical reception that it's gotten, that it actually is a lot more serious of a film than the trailer I saw for it was, because the trailer
at times it's very serious. It's a lot, it's probably three or four different genres all in one movie. So the tone is kind of shifts all over the place, but it's not sloppy. Everything feels very deliberate. And it's crafted really well. Nice. But it does really change genres throughout the movie. But it works to great effect. And there was one scene in particular that really sticks with me from this movie towards the end. Nice. And I think everybody should, well, almost everybody should see it. I think
awesome. It
will be something that you'll be thinking, you know, next morning I was still kind of thinking about things from it and was appreciating some of the choices they made. Music in it is really well done and
awesome.
Most of the performances are great. Promising Young Woman. I hope that it's more widely available streaming, you know, either Hulu or Netflix in the next few weeks. But
nice. Right, so now, I'll look forward to checking it out.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's talk about a not as much promising, not as young, and not a woman.
Not so promising young man.
Yeah, not so promising middle-aged
man. Promising young man.
He was a once promising young man.
He was a once promising young man.
All right, so let's talk about The Way Back. So The Way Back was from 2020. It came out last year in February, which I think it's interesting that this movie was released in February because usually movies that come out at that time are known to be not as good. You know, the critics aren't responding to them, audiences aren't responding to them. So they release them early because they're usually not eligible for the Oscars. So they kind of dump the non-eligible stuff. Right away, I will say this movie is way better than it had any business being, I thought.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's much better than it had any business being. And I remember the sort of shock and awe when this movie came out that, like, hey, is Ben Affleck back? Is this the...
Yeah, he never went away, did he?
Yeah, but, like, if you look at his... We'll get into it. We'll look at his Letterboxd, but look at some of his more recent movies. You haven't seen any of these movies. So this was sort of seen as his return to popular film that a lot of people are probably going to see that he deserves to be nominated for an award for. Mm-hmm. And so I was sort of taken aback at that. And I was like, oh, this seemed to be a pretty cookie cutter sports movie from all indications from trailers and such. But I did end up, you know, not seeing it when it came out, but I was definitely interested in it. And I'm glad we finally got to talk about it here and I finally got to mark it off my list.
Yeah.
It certainly is better than it has any right to be given. The way it's set up is very formulaic as far as classic down on his luck coach sports movies go. You see this in a bunch of different football sports movies, basketball sports movies, down on his luck golfers, down on his luck boxers, down on his luck, you know, wrestlers. With the wrestler. And that's actually probably the movie this reminded me the most of, and it's not going to come up in connections later, but it reminded me a lot of the Wrestler from several years ago.
That's interesting. Gray. I did not think about The Wrestler in terms of this, but yeah, The Wrestler is about a former star wrestler who's making his big comeback and battling substance abuse issues. And,
yep, exactly.
And so I guess, you know, that is kind of the Wrestler version of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie was up for a ton of awards.
Yeah.
I can't remember for sure, but I know Mickey Rourke was up for best actor. And I think there were a couple other performances, maybe Marissa Tomei as well in that. I don't know if that was up for best picture.
I think it got put up for best director, but not best picture.
Okay.
But yeah, so the story of Roddy the Ram really reminded me of the story of Ben Affleck's character in this film. And this film had a much more low-key hopeful ending, I think, than that film did. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed this movie overall, more than I was expecting to.
Yeah. How do you think you would feel about this movie had you seen it last year when it came out without knowing, because we both had heard about this for a year, that, hey, this movie is way better than you would expect. The Ben Affleck performance is really great. And so I went into it expecting something better than your average sports movie. And I think it still surpassed those expectations, but I would be curious, had I just gone opening weekend to this, being like, okay, I guess I'll go watch this basketball movie. It's probably not going to be any good. Kind of like when you and I went to that boxing movie with Jake Gyllenhaal that I always forget the name of.
Which turned out to really be that bad.
Right.
Southpaw.
We saw that before there were any. Yeah, Southpaw. We saw that before there were any, you know, any
reviews or anything.
About
yeah, it was
it.
A, Yeah, it was an embargoed screening, so mm-hmm. yeah, it was rough. It was real rough.
Right. So, and I think, I mean, this I did not think was rough. I thought this was really enjoyable the whole way through. I think the most interesting part about it is that you realize towards the end that this movie really isn't about basketball at all.
Right, it's not.
The basketball was there to be his purpose, and he loses his purpose and spirals mm-hmm. even further out of control. And I think when you align the basketball being his purpose and also his we already said spoilers, but yeah, just you know, there's a big surprise in this. Big surprise is that that Jack, Ben Affleck's character, and his wife, what was her name? Do you remember? Was it?
I don't recall off the top of my head.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jack and his wife.
Michaela Watkins, Beth.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They lost their son. Michaela Watkins was his sister, wasn't she?
Yeah. Was she?
Michaela Watkins was his sister. Angela. That was it. Angela was.
My bad. That's Janina Gavankar.
Yes. So they lost their son to cancer just a couple of years before this movie takes place. And he ended up becoming an alcoholic as a result of the trauma from that. And they split up, him and his wife. And now he's really down on his luck. He lives alone. He works a construction job and gets pulled back into the world of basketball by his old high school, which invites mm-hmm. him to come on as a coach. He's a legend from that high school who
took the team state.
Yes.
Had huge promise. Was supposed to get a ride to Kansas, I believe.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then did he get injured or did he? No, he quit, right?
He quit. Yeah. So, you know, tying in again with that theme of fatherhood, he talks to the point guard, to Brandon in the car about his former athletic promise and that he was going to go to Kansas. And he realized that the only reason why his father interacted with him really or showed him any love was because of his success on the basketball court. Mm. And he didn't want that success to be what defined his relationship with his father. And so he rebelled and he stopped playing basketball. He got into drugs. So he did have these substance abuse problems before he met Angela, before he had his child. His history is that Angela kind of pulled him out from these addiction issues, gave him purpose, and his purpose was his son. When he lost his son, he loses that purpose. So some really interesting themes are explored in this movie, and not just in your kind of cookie cutter way, I didn't think, because there are layers of things, especially when you look at fatherhood, when you look at addiction purpose.
And especially alcoholism. I thought the way that it sort of slowly eased you into his alcohol problem and sort of eased you into, oh, this guy definitely is an alcoholic, he just can't stop drinking, was really, really interesting in the first 20 minutes or so. With, you know, first you think maybe it's just like one night, you know, you're meeting this guy on the first night and he's had some beers, and then you realize that he's on his way to Thanksgiving, cracking a beer in the car, buying a case of beer, shows up late to Thanksgiving dinner, and just does nothing but drink. I don't think we even see him eat anything. He just drinks the whole time.
Yeah.
Then he's got sisters. And so it's,
we are slowly introduced to that, but we actually are like very quickly introduced to his alcoholism as well, because the movie opens with him, like drinking in the shower. I believe he's drinking in the shower in that first scene, and he's going to work and he's pouring a beer.
Yeah.
Or pouring a beer into his travel mug. So we do see that, like, right off the bat, like, and it is presented not out of the ordinary. This is just, this is the way that, you know, you get up in the morning and you brush your teeth. He gets up in the morning and he cracks a beer, and it's just part of his everyday life. And actually one movie that, you know, at least from what I've heard about it, that I was thinking about as a connection is Another Round, which I know you just watched.
I did, I wasn't going to suggest it this week, but
but I know that that's a similar concept where it's about somebody who just kind of maintains a low level of alcohol in their bloodstream for, you know, consistently.
And so, I know that, but I think the difference with Another Round is the beginning of that movie is a choice to live that way, rather than you don't see the choice point for Ben Affleck where he first becomes an alcoholic.
Right.
You see that choice point in Another Round.
Yeah, you don't, I don't think this was I mean, this is less of a choice for him, whereas what I understand about Another Round is they almost do it as a science experiment.
Right,
where exactly. They want to see what it's like.
Yes.
And this was, I think instead of a choice point, I would say like a trigger point for him. And it's alluded to things about what caused that trigger point, and it's, okay. You know, it was the basketball as a kid, quitting basketball as a kid, that gets him down the road of doing drugs. And then when they lose their son, it's probably not right away, but I think there is a version of this movie where they do like a flashback, or they show the son is killed, and then or I guess the son isn't killed, but the son loses battle with cancer, and very soon after that Jack starts drinking. What's nice is that they just, it's not heavy-handed with that stuff. They talk about it, they allude to it, you know, you see him pour the whiskey into his travel mug out of the glove box. But it's just kind of, it just happens instead of like the camera fixating on it or the dialogue being super, at least with this stuff, being super expositiony when it comes to the trauma and the alcoholism. I do think, and that's one of my criticisms of this movie, is there is a lot of heavy-handed exposition in other areas of this movie.
Right.
But with that aspect of it, I did not feel that way. I don't know about you.
Yeah, that's how I thought too. And I that's how I sort of felt about the basketball players themselves and getting to know them, is that they sort of used a sports movie shorthand to get us to know some of the players. Right. You know, there's the kid who is forced off the team, who has trouble at home, and then he tries to get his way back onto the team. You have the kid whose dad doesn't really want him to play basketball or doesn't care that he's playing basketball.
Yeah, that would be Brandon. That's the point.
Yeah, guard. That's Brandon. Yeah. And you know, all he wants is his father's love, and at the end he gets it because the dad shows up for the basketball game.
Yeah,
and
I love that. I thought that was just very cheap. I thought introduced his dad early on, and his dad doesn't accept him, and then we don't see anything about that for over an hour, and then the dad shows up at the playoff game.
Right, and then there's the comic relief, you know, basketball player who's macking on all the girls, Kenny.
Yes.
And, you know,
perfect name for that guy. I feel like that guy was a total Kenny.
He's the total Kenny. And I liked it, but at the same time, it was like, these are three very big sports movie cliches of teenage sports stars in any movie that you're going to get, from Mighty Ducks to The Replacements. You're going to get these guys.
I actually thought the Brandon character, and maybe it's been done before, but I actually really like that character in the fact that he's the point guard and he's quiet. He's shy.
Yeah.
He
doesn't want to be the captain. Yeah.
He doesn't want to be the captain. He doesn't want to be calling out plays. He just wants to signal with his hand to do the play. And I really love the scene where Jack is in the stands and he's yelling at Brandon. Right. He's like, Brandon, I can't hear you. I can't hear what the play is. I just thought that scene just demonstrated what they were trying to go with the Brandon character. And I think of all the basketball players, he was my favorite.
For sure.
I just didn't really love what they did with his dad. It felt tacked on. I don't think we needed it.
It did.
And it's nice that we had another area where we're exploring the theme of fatherhood.
Yeah. That's also true. Yeah.
But it just either needed to be developed more, or they could have just cut it, because I mean, like, the kid's playing in the playoffs, even if his father doesn't accept him, I would think his family would show up to the playoffs. And is that really that big of a step that his dad showed up to a basketball game? Like, show me something else that his dad does to support him. Right, show me his dad being there when they lose.
I think what we need is either a scene where he's there when they lose, or a scene between Brandon and his father.
Right. Yeah, because we saw.
Yeah. The problem is the movie doesn't care to explore these guys away from Jack. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the problem I have with the movie.
Because the movie is about Jack. Because the movie isn't about the rest of these.
Right.
And that's because what we get is we get the big climactic game. The game to get into the state playoffs is not at the end of the movie like you would normally see.
Right. Exactly.
There's still, and I think when you were watching this, I said, you know, don't look at how much time is left in the movie if you can, because it feels like you're at the end of the movie when that's going on. And you're not, because then there is this whole third act where Jack spirals, he loses his job, spirals further out, and really, really hits rock bottom until he ends up in rehab. And we see some ray of sunshine, some ray of optimism towards the end of the movie.
Yeah, for sure. And I liked that. It felt like it felt like a twist, but a necessary twist for this character. Mm-hmm. I really, because I was going to be really annoyed if the movie was over at that point. Like, look, everything's going to be okay. He got his redemption. He took the team to the state thing. Everything's going to be okay. And the fact that the movie was conscious enough of the tropes it was playing on to give you the final act of the movie that it does, I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, so, my problem is that the final act is really good, and then the final scene where we see Jack shooting basketball and we hear, this is one of those super heavy-handed exposition points, where we hear the radio call of the state championship or the state playoff game, and somehow these radio announcers know everything about these high school programs, and that this is the first time that this team has been back since Jack was the star of the team. Like, nobody cares about high school basketball that much. It's not happening, and that it's played over Jack shooting baskets and finally like picking up a basketball for the first time since he was in high school. It was just so like, look, basketball saved him, and now he's shooting and he's overcome his demons and he's, you know, on the shores of Malibu at rehab and everything is going to be okay. And I think
I appreciate that ending over the they win and they all pick him up on their shoulders and carry him off the court thing, which is what you get in movies like Hoosiers or, you know, the Replacements, Titans, or Little Giants, Friday or Night Lights, Titans, or
but exactly. I mean, aren't we basically symbolically getting that? I mean, we are getting this radio and I think if they just would have played
it's
the
true.
Audio,
it's just a different way to do it.
If they would have just played music of him shooting and you see you don't know how the basketball game is going, and instead they're playing that radio broadcast over him shooting, and it's so directly tying like his redemption and his comeback with him shooting baskets and taking this next step. We just didn't need that. Like, I think what we should have seen is I bet there is a cut of this movie where that wasn't included, because you sometimes hear about like studio interference where they add some of this stuff to make it more clear. Like, I think I'm sure that there is somebody worked on this that was like, no, we should just have, they go out, they play their game. We don't know how it ends for them, but we know that they made it to this next level. Then we cut to Jack, who at the same time is going outside and he's playing basketball for the first time since high school. But it's not just so heavy handed that look at Jack is shooting and the team is doing great. And look how proud everybody must be of this team that they're playing for their coach who isn't here. And for the first time since he was in high school for, you know, 25 years ago, they're finally back in the state playoffs.
I have a question about the ending that I feel like I sort of, maybe I missed it, or maybe I just didn't understand the timeline of how everything happened at the end.
No, I know what your question is, and it's an error in the movie, I think. But go ahead. What is it?
But they basically say, so the kids say, we're going to do this for Coach. We're going to win this for Coach before the final game.
Benjamin.
And then, we're going to win this for Coach Cunningham, and then let's do it for Coach. Mm-hmm. anyway. And then the headmaster, the head priest, and the assistant coach are doing a walk and talk behind the players as they go onto the court. And the headmaster is like, do you want to tell them? And the assistant coach is like, no, I'll tell them. And I'm like, wait, tell them what?
I think tell them if they fire the coach.
But don't they already know? Shouldn't they already know by that point?
So that's not the part that wasn't that before the state playoff game? Or was that it was that.
That was as they were. Yeah, that was at that game as they were going out onto the court. And I'm like, shouldn't they already know that he's not coming to coach them?
The timeline at the end of this movie really makes no sense. Because what happens is they win that game at the end of the regular season to make the playoffs. So there should only be a few days that pass between the end of the regular season and the playoffs, probably a week in real time.
Because that's how high school basketball works.
Right. Because the regular season ends and then the playoffs start the next week. Yep. And in that time, they have practice. Jack shows up drunk to practice. Jack gets fired. Jack goes to the bar. He has this run-in at the bar where all of this kind of, I feel like, very unrealistic behavior by everybody else. Jack's behavior I buy. I do not buy anybody else's behavior during that scene. He goes into the wrong house. He falls down. He gets knocked out. He gets arrested. He ends up at a hospital. He ends up at rehab. He's at rehab and he's to the point where he can pick up a basketball and he's made amends to, you know, through these different steps. Right. All of that happens in a week. Like that, it should have been that this was like the beginning of the next season, I would have thought.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense timeline wise. Right. The only way it makes sense is if that really did happen in a week, and that's why the players don't know that he's not coming to the game and has been fired.
Yeah. So otherwise,
the ending just makes no sense, and the ending either makes no sense or is completely unrealistic. Yeah. And I think it is just completely unrealistic that it took place in that amount of time.
Then that's why them playing the real time basketball radio broadcast doesn't make any sense. Because that should be taking place at least weeks later, if not months later. What probably makes more sense is maybe he gets a visitor and he finds out that they won a game and you know, the success that they had in the playoffs, that inspires him to pick up the basketball. Okay. And he just goes out there and this is multiple weeks, if not months later, that this is happening.
I got an idea. How is this for an ending? Or is this way too Disney movie cheesy? So Brandon shows up to his rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out into the rec, you know, onto the rec basketball court at this rehab facility. And they start talking about life and what he did wrong and et cetera, et cetera. And then Coach Jack tells him, you know, tell me about the game. I'm done. Let's not talk about this anymore. Tell me about the game. And then the movie ends with Brandon narrating what happened in the championship game to Jack as they like bounce the basketball back and forth, taking shots.
I like the idea of Brandon visiting him. Okay. That it's like, you know, over the summer, Brandon comes and visits him, and he probably knows what happened. I mean, he's got a newspaper. He's going to know what happened. But it's like Brandon, you know, like we have some stuff where the guys are – they feel like they were abandoned by Jack. I mean, I guess they do say at the end they're going to win it for him. But Brandon comes and visits him, and we get like from He Got Game, where we get Jack and Brandon playing one-on-one against each other. And that's how it ends, is it ends with – instead of Jack just shooting by himself, he's shooting with, you know, his surrogate son figure in this movie. This is basically the kid who stands in for his son. I mean, Brandon is the one he really takes to and really believes in. And they're talking about the future, and Brandon, maybe Brandon's talking about like next season. I'm, you know, these are my goals for next season.
Or, you know, what college he got into, you know, like.
Right. And it ends with
they go to UNC
mark of,
or whatever.
No. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I think he was younger. I think he probably still had another year left. Yeah. And so it's like, yeah, next year I'm going to be the senior. I'm going to be the captain. They're talking about that stuff. And, you know, it leaves it on a question mark like, oh, maybe Jack could come back and work with these kids in the future. And just leaves it a little bit more of a question mark. I think that works better, or just something where the time frame was just way too compressed, because what would really be happening a week after they won that game is Jack is probably either still in jail or still in the hospital, not in rehab, and seemingly made so much progress that he's ready to pick up a basketball again.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
It's just too much to have happened in that short period of time.
Yeah, I agree.
The other thing I wanted to talk about too is just like in that last act, and I brought it up earlier, is just the behavior of everybody else other than Jack just really doesn't make any sense. Woman who buys him shots. I mean, the woman buying him shots at the bar, I guess I buy.
Were we supposed to know who the blonde was from some earlier point in the movie?
No, I thought we were also, but I don't think she was in the movie anytime earlier. Or I didn't recognize her at least. I think she's just somebody. I kind of assume that maybe she recognized him from high school that she was like, oh, that's the, you know, that's the former star point guard.
Right.
That's, you know, I'm going to try to hook up with him. I'm going to buy him drinks. But the bartender, like, over serving him on multiple occasions, like, you know,
that
this guy has had problems.
There's no bartender I know that I've been to a bar at that wouldn't have cut him off five shots before that bartender does.
And he's a regular there, but it's like, he's also a regular. You know that this ends every night that he's getting carried home by the guy by Dr. Senator in Fargo.
Love
like,
that guy. Love Ron Carmen.
I love seeing him. Yes. And then when they're driving in the car, like then this woman, I mean, I guess this woman is just also stupid. But she's like, yeah, sure. After I bought you five shots, I'll let you drive me home and I'll let you like kiss me while you're driving down the road.
Insane.
Like, I don't care how drunk she is. Anybody would be like, stop doing that. Like that. No. Look at the road, or stop the car and then kiss me. Like, what are you doing?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I believe that people who get that drunk that often are dumb enough to do those types of things. I mean, that's how drunk driving accidents happen all the time, is by, you know, hubris of people who are used to getting drunk, thinking they can still drive. But that whole part still felt a little unrealistic.
And I bought it from Jack. That Jack is just like so down. And I mean, he is an alcoholic. He has this illness. And, you know, I don't think he is in control of his actions or his thoughts. And maybe a part of him has like a death wish, suicidal tendencies at that point because of how much he's lost. But the woman is the one who I think I don't care how drunk she is. She'd be like, what are you doing? You're driving the car. Stop kissing.
Her character, her character doesn't make sense.
Or like stop, and then to say, oh, it's a, like, and then when they get to the, I thought it was an interesting twist that he enters the wrong house. But again, it's just like,
I knew as soon as that happened and he went into the back alley that he was going to be in the wrong house. And I was like mortified. Like,
and it was believable, but it's also like these people didn't lock their back door. It feels like what would really happen is he tries to go to the wrong house and he tries to open the door and the door is locked. And then she's like, hey, I'm over here.
I was waiting for him to get shot. Because I thought for sure that the person, whoever was going to confront him, was just going to confront him with a gun and shoot him. Damn.
And I think despite those problems, that was actually a very good way for him to hit rock, like to literally hit rock bottom, where he goes to the wrong house, he's chased out and he falls down that hill. And I thought that worked. I just thought there were a lot of leaps in logic to get us to that point.
I agree. For sure. What else do we need to talk about in this? So how did this stack up for you? Like, you and I love sports movies, and shockingly, this is the first sports movie we've really covered on this podcast. Aside from the one we covered last week, obviously. But we didn't cover a single sports movie last year. How did this stack up for you against, especially basketball movies? Because you and I have watched a lot of them, you know, He Got Game and
Hoosiers,
Hoosiers and such. How did you feel this stacked up against other sports movies for you?
I thought in terms of other sports movies, it was nice because it was so unconventional. I mean, the fact that the movie is not as much about the basketball is, you know, a plot element, but it is not the plot element. The movie isn't about the basketball. It's not really about the basketball team at all. I mean, the basketball team grows, but it's just about Jack. And I don't know if I can think of a performance in a sports movie. Maybe He Got Game, Denzel Washington, He Got Game, where, I mean, we haven't even talked about it, but Affleck's performance in this is really, really good.
And, it really, really is. Yeah.
I think Hoosiers had some good performances, but in terms of a performance that stands out, where you really buy that this guy, not just his acting, but the way he looks physically, he's just kind of like puffed up like somebody who's been drinking a lot. He's not fat. He doesn't have a beer belly, but he's not slim cut Ben Affleck.
Right. He looks bloated. He looks bloated, down on his
that
look,
is the word.
Bloated,
yes.
Ben Affleck. He looks Ben Affleck sitting on a park bench eating a soggy sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. He looks bloated is the word I was looking for. And there's things that he does with his eyes in this movie. Especially even the first couple scenes where he's at his sister's house and she confronts him on his drinking, and you can see the rage building at him, and he slams the beer and then immediately is like, which of your 20 rooms am I sleeping in? And that line is so cutting that he's just, you can tell that jealousy he has for his sister, that she's got this family and this great life, and at this point we don't know that he's lost his son. But we do know that he's, you know, not happy in life.
Right, exactly.
And I just think his character, I mean, is this movie being a showcase for the Jack character and the Ben Affleck performance? I thought it was great.
I agree. It's probably one of the better modern Affleck performances I can remember. And at the same time, I haven't seen a lot of modern Affleck just because
the Snyder Cut.
I know, but I mean, he's Batman. He's a very, very good Batman. I enjoy him as Batman. I also enjoy him as Bruce Wayne, and I enjoy him as Batman. He's a very good looking Batman. He fills out the suit nicely. It's not the same. Like, you know, most of his dramatic roles sort of get sidelined as not being conventionally seen by popular audiences. Like the accountant or paycheck or, you know, changing lanes, things like that. Like, he's made a lot of weird choices in the last 20 years where he hasn't made movies that a lot of people have seen. He's sort of taken the exact opposite path of, you know, his partner that he always gets paired with, and maybe that's part of his own neuroses, in Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's constantly having his film catalog compared to the film catalog of Matt Damon, you know, because they made, you know, Good Will Hunting together. So
it does feel like he's in a lot more movies, but you're right. As looking at his recent, besides the Batman performance, mm-hmm. I mean, he's been doing more behind the camera. He's been directing exactly. a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, he does win the Oscar for Argo, which is right. amazing. And it's an amazing movie. It's amazingly directed. And his performance is great. But that was still, what, six, 7 years ago?
That was 2012, I believe.
Yeah, so it was Argo. 8 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, 9 years ago, actually, now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, what year is it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I mean, outside of Gone Girl,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he did do The Accountant, which is the same director as this movie.
Right.
I haven't seen The Accountant. I haven't heard great things about it, although I just don't know. I think it's like he's like a spy accountant. And Triple Frontier, which we both like, but that was a Netflix movie.
Right. And his performance is great in Triple Frontier, but it's sort of a popcorn throwaway movie that mm-hmm. you don't think. I haven't thought twice about Triple Frontier since we watched it. No. I couldn't even remember everybody that was in it.
Yeah. I think one of the Hemsworth was in it.
There was a Hemsworth. There was Pedro Pascal, Oscar Isaac.
So you can remember everybody who was in that.
I know, but I'm being facetious, or whatever the word is.
Yeah.
I'm making a point.
Yeah. Another spot where I thought he gave a great performance as well was the, you know, we still don't know the whole history with him and Angela, right? But they meet for lunch. She's been trying to get a hold of him. And I think it's weird the way he uses his cell phone in this, by the way, that he, mm-hmm. He just leaves his cell phone sitting on his like entryway counter and uses it like a answering machine. Like he walks in and hits the voicemail button. And right. plays like an, but like never has his phone on him, and
right.
people are trying to reach him, and they just leave him messages. Like it's weird. It's like this movie was written in 1995, and
right.
back when people had answering machines, because the way he like plays, like I never check my voicemail. Right. Like I don't know. I guess he's just, you know, just a, it's a minor.
I think that's because he doesn't want to pick up the phone and people hear how drunk he is.
Maybe.
I think it's a self defense thing of like, you know, part of his
how disconnected he is from
yeah him. Exactly that's yeah disconnected yeah
but so she finally gets a hold of him and they're gonna meet, and you can tell he's got this kind of like glimmer of hope that they're gonna get things back on track, they're gonna rekindle. And when she says to him, you know, I just wanted to see if you're moving on with your life,
mm-hmm.
And again, he just has this stare at her because it's a stare and this realization that what she is coming to tell him is not, I want to get back together with you, I want to repair things. It is, I am going to get married to somebody else. I've met somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to soften the blow by being like, aren't you also doing great?
Right. Exactly.
And he does not have any relationships in his life outside mm-hmm. of with his sister. And I do think around this time too, somebody asks him if he has kids. I can't remember what it might have been when he meets for the interview for to become a basketball coach, but somebody asks like, do you have kids? And he says no. And at this point you don't know that he used to have a kid. You just assume, oh no, this guy doesn't have any kids. So yeah, I thought that was another example of when he's really good. And then this side of him that we see when he's coaching, he's a totally different person when he's coaching, and he's very aggressive, loses his temper a lot. He's swearing at the referee. But it's a different side than this kind of depressed and sad version of Jack that we see in some of these other scenes.
Yeah, you sort of see him come alive and become a different person when he sort of forgets about everything else going on in his life. And
he could just focus on the game.
He could just focus on the basketball, yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I did think that the way he's acting, I know coaches get really into the game, but I can't imagine like some
high school basketball coach.
On,
he would have been
like
fired
that.
After game one.
Right.
A high school basketball coach at a Christian university, he would have been fired after game one for that behavior.
And he never, like I also felt like the swearing in this, it felt very unnatural all the time. Like the way that people swear in this movie, it just didn't feel like the way, you know, if you followed even a college basketball coach around, you know, on the sidelines, like they're swearing like this too, even for Christian schools.
Right.
So I think like I can buy that, but the way it's delivered is just weird.
Awful.
Yeah, it was awkward. And when he's carrying on like that, especially when we find out he knows the one of the referees, that at that point, as somebody who knows more about basketball than you, I was like, okay, so he's going to get a technical foul at a key moment in a game, and this team's going to lose as a result. And that does happen a couple of games later.
Yeah.
So, which isn't like the worst foreshadowing. It was just, for me, felt a little predictable. Right. The other spot where I thought that there was foreshadowing, and again, like, didn't feel predictable, but just was foreboding, is every time that Jack is driving, I was on the edge of my seat and nervous. And it does end up being that he gets a car accident, although the car accident is pretty minor in the scheme of everything else that happens to him that night. But when he's driving Brandon home, I'm just like, oh my God, they're going to get T-boned, or it's like something bad is going to happen. He's going to get a car accident and he's going to lose Brandon or something like that. I was expecting some sort of car accident.
Yeah. And the other thing that this movie did was the foreshadowing with, so they get invited to a birthday party for the son of a friend who used to be friends with their own son, because they feel like the parents feel like that they need to be maintained as part of the group because they don't want to cut them out of their life.
The kid was in the cancer hospital with Jack's son.
Right.
And this kid survived.
Right,
this
exactly. And so there's a lot of like weird, awkward tension between them, but also like hope there. And then when that actually comes back into play later in the movie and turns out that his cancer has returned, like Jack Affleck's performance in that scene is so incredible. Like, just, and that's what sends him re-spiraling, you know, off the deep end the rest of the movie.
Because that's, you know? Is that after he got, no, that then he starts drinking and then he gets fired the next day. That's right.
Exactly, yeah.
Because that triggers him to start drinking. That, so that's kind of him, that trigger point that we were talking about earlier. So we do actually see that trigger point in this movie. I really like what the character of this kid, and I put that the kid's name was Michael, but I think Michael was theirs, was Jack's son. Right. But this kid who has the birthday party and his family, I think Miguel might have been his dad's name.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah. What they represent in that this kid, and you know, there's a lot of resentment, I think, between Jack and this family, because this kid survived. This kid is celebrating a birthday party. This kid is celebrating another year that he's alive, when Jack's son is not. Jack's son did not get to experience this. So I love what that represents in this story. But what I don't buy is that the parents would invite them to this birthday party. Like, if you were in the, like, why would, I know you want to include them, but like, it just feels like rubbing their face in, our son is alive, our son has another year on this earth and beat cancer, and your son
didn't. And it's not like your son knows who Jack is. That's the other
part. Right, he didn't even recognize him. It's like,
so it's,
don't invite Jack and Angela to this birthday party, because all it's going to do is upset them.
Yeah, it was a bad move. Bad move. Why did they do that?
I think they did that because they needed to introduce the fact that Jack's son died, and they didn't know that. But that's another one of those like leaps in logic in this movie that keeps it from being a great movie. Much like the stuff in the third act.
I was a little confused, and what I thought was going to happen when they got to the hospital was I thought it was going to be his nephew in the hospital, which would have made a lot more sense up to that point, because it builds up this relationship and fondness he has for his nephew, who loves sports and is sort of a know-it-all, because every movie has to have the precocious know-it-all kid who gathers all the stats and loves the sport.
Well, because that kid has to be there to deliver the exposition to tell you what games that this team needs to win in order to make the playoffs.
If you have to have that, you have to have that character, because he's in every movie. Mm-hmm. And it's the, you know, it's the daughter from Field of Dreams trope. Yeah. You know, you have to have the sports loving, you know, adolescent, prepubescent, or whatever you want to call it. And I really thought that they were going to do more with that little kid, and then they just sort of abandoned him halfway through the movie. So
yeah, that's true. Show him visiting Jack in rehab at the end of the movie with the parents, but
I was a little disappointed that they sort of abandoned him. But at the same time, like, that is a sports trope, so I understand that they had it and then forgot it as sort of a, we're not going that the way you think we are. Right. But some tropes are okay. Like, I actually kind of like that trope.
Yeah, I mean, this kid just existed, so they could give you an update as to, like, okay, all that this team needs to do is win one more game, and they have two chances to win this game. So this is the one they got to win, because otherwise they're going to have to play the team with, like, the next LeBron on it.
Right, it's the Hayden Panettiere role in, Denzel Washington.
Yeah, Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans, yes, thank you. Yes, it's the same role. Yeah.
That's another, you know, that you kind of take some of that, and that's the stuff that is like, okay, yeah, this is why, you know, this is the movie that could have been released in February, but there is underneath some of those kind of cheesy, tropey things, there's such good stuff in this movie as well.
I agree. Yeah.
And so it's very mixed. And, I wonder if part of that is, you know, Gavin O'Connor is the director of this movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did The Accountant that we mentioned. Now he did do Warrior and Miracle, which are both, you know, pretty well respected, but
and sports movies.
Yeah, so, both sports movies as well. So, I think overall this movie is definitely does some really good stuff. I think the use of foreshadowing, the use of the performance, and some of the writing is really good. It's just I liked also one choice I did like is that they don't show the games that much.
Right.
And so when they do show the games, you're really excited to watch it, because in a lot of sports movies, you just watch montage and montage and montage of basketball games. Instead, the ball tips, and then all of a sudden you see the final score. And sometimes it's even used humorously, where they look all excited, and then they show the score, and they lost, right?
Right, or there's the one where they are a point down and have 12 seconds left, and Brandon has to make the shot, and the camera cuts to the scoreboard, because he makes it, and it's like 69, 60, 68. And, of course, I went, nice.
Yeah. Yes, very nice. Yep. I did like – what did you think about the basketball in general in this movie? Like, the basketball strategy, the terms? You were less of a basketball fan than me.
I'm a layman, but it all made sense to me. It made sense, especially when they were explaining the different positions – and why this person was not good at that position,
right?
Because they were too tall or too short, or, you know, I really liked when he broke down the how many shots did you make and how many did you actually take, and then what's the percentage on that? Yeah. You know, just because you made more doesn't mean that your percentage of accuracy in getting them was higher, because you actually took more of those shots and missed.
Right.
So
that was very realistic, because in basketball a lot, like, every center wants to shoot a million threes.
Right.
And, you know, the other problem strategically wise is if you do that, then your center isn't under the basket to get the rebound. And so centers are shooting threes more and more now. But if you're not good at it, you're missing, and you're not there to get the rebound, it's doubly harmful for your team.
Right.
The basketball strategy part of this that I didn't love was he just kept referring to motion offense. And I don't think anybody in this movie knew what motion offense means, because I don't even really know what motion offense means. I think they just kind of use that in place of, like, calling any actual plays. They're just like, yeah, we're doing motion this time. Which just means everybody's moving.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I was like, all right, stop saying motion offense. As I saw times.
Wanted to shout out, I know we don't, you know, there's a huge that guy in this movie who I've seen in a bunch of things, both on TV and in different movies, named John Alward. He was in Armageddon. He was in Down With Love. He was in 13 Days. He played the father, the headmaster in this.
Yes, okay.
And he's been in, like, a million freaking things. And I was like, when he caught, I didn't know he was in this movie. And it was really cool to see him, because he's such a good that guy.
Yeah.
Like,
And I also like that you referred to him as the father, which he is. He's the head of this Catholic school. And again, our theme here is fathers in this movie. You know, one of the big themes is fathers and sons. And this is a person who is called father. And yeah,
he's sort of an absentee father too, because he's only there at the beginning of the movie and then at the end.
I did also like the character of Dan, who is the assistant coach, who's just like the math teacher that steps in. Dan made me kind of want to be a high school basketball coach, because I was like, this could be kind of fun. Like, you know, I don't know anything about basketball, but, like, it'd be fun to, like, you know, leave a good impression on these kids and teach them the sport.
Yeah, Al Madrigal is the name of the actor that played him. He's a comedian. I believe he was on The Daily Show at one point.
Okay.
And he's been in a few other things. He was in the Goldie Hawn movie Snatched, which I never saw.
Hmm.
But apparently
I remember when that came out, yeah.
And Night School a couple years ago. but he's mostly known for his comedy.
Yeah. And of course, Glenn Thurman, for no reason really in this movie. He's been in a lot recently. He's in Fargo season 4. He was just in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And he's just the guy who carries Jack home from the bar. Although he does reference that he carried Jack's father home the same way. And we don't get a ton about Jack's father. He's not around with Jack and his sister. So, I mean, I think we're supposed to assume he's either completely out of the picture or dead. But it's nice that we just get little references to this stuff that okay, Jack's father also drank and Jack's father couldn't connect with him unless he was playing basketball.
The way that it deals with fathers and sons is really interesting, but it also to a degree feels very surface level, where you're not really delving into the history of Jack and his father aside from the two sentences you just said.
Right.
Like, I wish we did know a little more about that.
Well, and I didn't even really put it together, but I think that you know, we can assume that Jack's father was an alcoholic as well, and that's why he's always carried home from the bar by Glenn Thurman.
Right.
But he was able to, you know, and you know, there's probably stuff with Jack's father's father that he has.
Right. Yeah.
So it's this legacy, and you know, really maybe the theme, instead of being father and son, the theme is really legacy, right? That
it's
Jack's
alcohol,
legacy is that he, you know, he was a great basketball player for this high school, and then he comes back and coaches them, and now his legacy is that he failed because he couldn't get his alcohol issues under control.
That's fair.
I did love some of the shots also. There really is like so much of this that I liked when Jack walks out of his office, and it happens twice, and the camera, it's a long take with a camera, long tracking shot where the camera follows Jack out of the office onto the court and like goes and sits, and basically it like follows with him. And then basically the camera sits on the bench. And it was really cool. And they did that twice in the movie. I thought that was really good.
That is really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a lot of really good stuff. I would recommend this movie to, anybody. It's got flaws, but I think those flaws probably stand out more when you're taking notes on the movie as well.
Right. For sure.
Whereas if you just sit down on a Friday night to watch it, and you know, for a February movie, this was much better than, you know,
especially when we're, you know, when we've been spending the last couple of weeks watching March Madness. I mean, to watch a basketball movie, even one with as little basketball in it as this, was really fun and a nice distraction. I would definitely recommend this as a, not just a sports movie, but a movie for anyone who's dealing with a family member that has had a type of addiction, you know?
Yeah. It does show you how that descent can just be kind of every day. And how there, it can eventually hit that rock bottom point. I did find it funny though. I mean, this is our, you know, take your drink, because it's our Lost reference for the week.
Right.
But we're watching a story of a bearded guy named Jack who's driving an SUV around Los Angeles and is on different substances and is spiraling towards rock bottom.
Whose dad probably said to him, just don't have what it takes.
Oh, yeah. Who has daddy issues. Oh, man.
All the best Jack Beards have daddy issues.
Yeah.
Only his last name was Shepherd.
I don't remember what his last name was. Oh, Cunningham. That's right. Jack Cunningham versus Jack Shepard. Would you have rather seen Matthew Fox in this role instead of Ben Affleck?
I would have liked to see Matthew Fox cameo as Ben Affleck's dad in a flashback.
Oh, or the guy who played Christian Shepard, John Tierney.
Oh, yeah, Jim Tierney. That would be funny.
Yes, if he can get any time off of being Felix Leiter.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, that's spoiler
alert. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into let's see what we got feedback wise. I'm not going to forget we have feedback. And then we can get into connections. So, all right. So our feedback for this week starts off with Jeff. It's a pretty decent movie. Thought Affleck was good in his part, but it wasn't really a part that tested his acting chops. It was depressing for me having alcoholic parents and a brother, and his inability to stop and it impacting his life is all too real. Mm-hmm. Them winning the big game and making the playoffs was very predictable. I was surprised when they tossed in that last backslide, mainly because it made his struggles seem so much more real.
Yeah.
I wish it was that easy to get an alcoholic to see their issues, though. Anyways, good watch, and I would give it 3.5.
Nice. Yeah, I kind of that Jeff pretty much summed up exactly what we've been saying for the last hour or so. You know, the highs and the lows of this movie, the backslide, the parts that felt real felt really, really real. You know, I've had family members that have also battled with alcohol issues, and every time, you know, I have a certain family member that every time I get together with other family members, we sort of say, you know, do we need to watch this family member this weekend, do you think, et cetera, or how is their drinking doing, you know, and it's always been a topic and always been an issue, and it's always been something that has been really hard to know how to deal with and talk about, for sure.
And the idea that he, you know, when he is on that last backside where he goes into the wrong house, I know I complained about how it's like, oh, it was unlocked, but I do think that there have been times when there's been people who have had alcohol problems that I've interacted with that have just done something so stupid that it just seems unrealistic, but they end up getting themselves into that kind of trouble.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but I will argue that I think this did test Affleck's acting chops. It just wasn't a big role. It wasn't a big role, but I think that is just as hard to keep everything really subtle. And the only time he really raises his voice and gets loud is when he's coaching on the basketball court.
Yeah. And I really liked it. I thought his performance was actually pretty pretty outstanding for me personally. All right, let's move on to Olin. Olin says, I can't figure if this film was set up as a standard hodgepodge of high school coach films with them trying to dig deep for an emotional core, or if it was more cleverly looking to deal with some serious issues but attempt to keep it mainstream by making the main theme around the high school basketball team.
Mainstream on the main theme. I think it's the second one. I think it's the movie about alcoholism that also is masquerading
uses basketball as a metaphor.
Yeah.
It's a metaphor, Jack. All right. The stoicness of Affleck and the hard-hitting issues he and his wife faced did touch me. On the other hand, the sports section seemed quite cliched, and I never felt like you could really sense the team properly being turned away. The worst section was just the display of a lot of heavy losses followed by close wins with no grounding in who these teams were. Was it a case of them just facing strong teams early on and weaker teams later, or a struggling and staggering improvement? Never felt there was enough done to bridge the gap with their main rivals, and how the final two games would pan was fairly signposted. Yeah. Rating 3 out of 5. Yeah, and I think that goes to show that the basketball was the most cliched part of this film, is that they set up the main rivals that they lose to at the beginning. You know, it's Mighty Ducks. They set up the main rivals where the team is not prepared to face these guys. They're a bunch of jerks. We suck. And
the coach is terrible also.
The coach is terrible, and they get their butts kicked. And then at the end, they end up beating them in a surprising way. And that's, you know, that's what every sports movie does.
And that win is really, I mean, that win is as good as winning the championship when they finally beat them, because it is their main rivals. The team has this athletic freak who's basically your stand-in for like a LeBron James or a top recruited high school athlete. And I think the reason why we don't learn much about the other teams is just because the basketball is not the important part of this.
Exactly.
There is a version of this where it is about, you know, and I think that version is Hoosiers, because Hoosiers does have an alcoholic coach, where it's more about the kids and what they're able to come together. This movie is really not that.
For sure.
One thing that Olin's note did make me think of, though, is he talks about you know, Jack and his wife, and we really don't learn anything at all about Angela. We know that she also lost a kid and seemingly is doing better with it, and she lost a husband.
We don't see any emotional context for her character.
No, to the fact that we couldn't even remember which character was his wife. Yeah. I mean, again, that's because this movie is about Jack. This entire movie is all about Jack. It is not about anybody else. Not about the team, it's not about his family members, nobody else.
That's why the film intentionally cast two similar legal-looking actresses for his wife and his sister. I mean, they're, you know...
Well, shorter. No, they don't look alike at all.
You know, I couldn't remember which one was which.
I couldn't either, but they're definitely... you know, the actress who plays his sister is very white, and the actress who plays his wife is not white. So,
Then I was not paying enough attention.
No, I think. Well, I don't think that's your fault that you those two characters are barely on the screen.
Right.
So exactly. We couldn't remember which was which. Right. And that's probably a flaw of this movie. It's probably a flaw of a lot of the movies that we pick on this podcast, because it seems like we're always picking movies that are about men and their problems, but it sort of is. I mean, you can't control the ladder, right? The ladder goes where the ladder goes. So, yeah. All right. Should we go on to Megan? Speaking of all male characters, we have a female writer. So Megan, the librarian, she watched this movie this week and said, "Nice entry in the uplifting sports movie genre. I like that they saved a big reveal about Ben Affleck's character until midway through the story, mm-hmm. and the way it plays out is different than how you would typically see in this type of film. Mm-hmm. Most of the film focus is on Affleck, and every other role is pretty small, but I thought that there were good moments from two most notable members of the basketball team, Melvin Gregg as Marcus and Brandon Wilson as Brandon. 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah, there you go. I agree.
I agree with all of that. I think we didn't really touch on the way that this movie is structured, and that we don't get that reveal until very late in the movie about Jack's son.
And I thought it was very effective.
Yeah, it was effective, and it recontextualizes a lot that you see early on in the movie as well. Right. Yep.
For sure.
All right.
Jim says, as I said in my nomination, I think The Way Back is a very March movie. Is it about an alcoholic Irish-American high school basketball coach leading his team to March Madness? Well, the high school version of March Madness,
High school March Madness.
Like March, it is also a movie that is uneven and unsure of itself. Why is the movie set in L.A. instead of a more Irish East Coast town like Boston, though Affleck still felt more like a Boston dock worker than an L.A. one? The sick child plot also felt disconnected to the basketball plots, but while I admire the attempt to go somewhere unexpected with the ending, it didn't land. All of that felt a bit like March and March Madness. It started out in an exciting way, but it didn't quite meet expectations. On the other hand, I think that his alcoholism was played better than in most movies, as was the basketball. I'm still giving it a 4 out of 5. So that's a lot of criticism for something that Jim is giving four stars. But I think it comes from a good place. I think he's much more focused on the basketball than the understory. And I think the thing that we've come away with is this movie isn't really about basketball. So we could sort of forgive the sports being cliched. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. And I think it's interesting that Jim compares this movie to the month of March. So is it like this movie comes in like a lion, out like a lamb? Because
something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And I think why is it set in L.A.? I think probably because they just wanted to film a movie in L.A. instead of in Boston. And they wanted to get that shot of the end of him in Malibu with the ocean behind him shooting basketball, which looked very pretty. But I feel like what's more realistic is just kind of a gray backdrop where he's shooting basketball.
Yeah, I will say I didn't realize this movie was set in L.A. until like near the middle or end of the movie, because of like it starts with him as a dock worker, construction worker type guy. And you don't really know where he is. It could be anywhere. He could be in Pennsylvania. He could be in Massachusetts.
There's a lot of palm trees. If you're looking in the background, then, you can tell it's L.A. But
thanks, Brendan Mist. But yeah, I mean, it definitely like made itself LA farther into the movie than it did at the beginning, I think.
Yeah. It's actually funny. I think I had a dream last night that I was in LA and I was overlooking like a shore, and I didn't come to me until just now that I think the reason why I had that dream was because of that last shot of this movie.
That's funny. Right, well, that gives us a listener average of 3.5, which is, you know, not too bad.
Yeah.
That's around average for movies we've seen this year, actually.
Yeah. Well, what do you give it?
So I am actually – so I came into this, and this is another one that I think got bumped up in the discussion that we've had about it tonight. I came into this expecting to give it a solid 3. I thought it was better than a lot of sports movies, better than a lot of movies that deal with grief and loss and alcoholism. But there was just something about the pace of it that was off for me. I still think it's a better than average sports movie and a better than average Affleck performance. So yeah, I'm actually right in lockstep with the listeners. I don't think it's good enough to give it a 4 or even a 3.75, so I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Nice. Well, I am with you on the fact that this was a grower over this podcast. I came in wanting to give it one thing, and it's going to get increased just because there is, as we were talking, I think we were talking, and there were things that I didn't like about it, but they were pretty nitpicky.
Right.
And
right.
When you think about this movie, that it's not about it's really not about the basketball. It's about the character study of Jack. Mm-hmm. And it's a showcase for Affleck to really deliver this bombshell performance. So I'm everything with you, except I was coming into this at a 3.5, so I'm going to be at a 4. And I'm surprised I'm giving this movie a 4. I don't know if this even makes my top 10 for last year. I don't think it does, but I do think this movie is really good. I think I could recommend it to a lot of people. I think it realistically showcases a person struggling with alcoholism, even if those around him are not acting realistically. I don't understand the title. I have a problem with the title.
Okay.
I mean, The Way Back, I guess it's The Way Back to Recovery.
It's the way to recovery, yeah. It's the way back to society. The way back from alcohol.
I don't know what a better title is, but that is not the title.
Well, it's funny you say that, because this film did have two alternate titles during production. And if you filibuster for a second, I will find them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I would call this movie, I don't know what, March Sadness, maybe you could call it. No. I think you could just name it the school. What was the name of the school? Like Foster High or something like that? You know, like I think you could name it that. I think you could name it or Bishop. That was what it was called.
Yeah, Bishop.
You call it Bishop High. Yeah. You know, you could call it like The Lost Season.
Yeah. So the original title for this, when Affleck pitched it in 2018 and was shopping it with Gavin O'Connor, was The Has Been, which, you know, goes back to his having fallen off from being a former basketball star, and it was going to focus much more on the basketball. Apparently, it was to have him having lost both his wife and his child.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little different from the final movie we got. And then it was going to, I guess his name originally was going to be Jack Torrance, because the movie was going to be called Torrance.
Isn't Torrance the character in The Shining?
That's what I was about to say, yes. So unless this was planned as a threequel to Dr. Sleep and The Shining, no. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So maybe once they realized Dr. Sleep was coming out, they canned that.
It's interesting if they did a version of this movie that's more about, I think that's almost like a show than a movie, because you have so much that you could do with that you want to show all the different aspects of his life that have fallen apart and him trying to make his way back. What about The Bishop Legacy? Do you like that title better than The Way Back?
What if it's just called Bishop?
Yeah, it could be called Bishop. I mean, the title...
But then it makes it more about the school. Yeah, it makes it more about the school, so...
Or, like, the legacy? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe if somebody else has a better title, they can come up with it. Send it to us if you have one. So,
how about Jack?
Yeah, you don't know Jack?
You don't know Jack.
Point.
Wasn't that the Jack Kevorkian movie from HBO that was?
I'm sure it was Al Pacino. Also. Wasn't there a game as well called You Don't
Know
Jack?
There was a game. Yeah, You Don't Know Jack.
All right. Well, what is our overall rating with? So I give it a 4. You give it 3.5. Listeners, 3.5.
So it's a 3.66 average.
And that rounds down to 3.5.
3.5. Yep. For Letterboxd purposes.
3.5. The other issue, and I know I keep bringing little things up. This movie is not quotable at all. Usually I have a bunch of quotes written down that I can, you know, that I open the show with. Tonight I had one written down. I looked on IMDb. There was one other one written down, which was not very good. I asked you if you had any quotes from this movie. You didn't. There's really nothing.
I had swear words.
Yeah. I mean, I could have opened it with swearing at the ref. But yeah, not very much quotable. So, all right. Well, what do you got for connections to The Damned United?
Yeah, so obviously there's the scene where Jack is forced off the court and is listening to the game in his office, which is very reminiscent of, oh my God, now I can't even remember his name anymore.
I can't.
The coach in Damned United listening to the game from his office because he can't stand to be out there.
That's his name.
Thank you.
And I did not look that up. I remembered that.
Thank you, Brian. Brian. And then, he is also a very outspoken coach, much like Brian is, mm-hmm. As far as getting in fights and provoking his fellow coaches with his angry words, yep. Like Brian does. He forms relationships with the players in different ways,
brings players up from lower levels, gets yep. them playing above their abilities and coming exactly. together as a team to win.
Yep.
So another big one that you missed is there is the rival coach who thinks he's way better than him, who snubs him, who talks down to him, much like Don right. Revy did to Brian Clough.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Yep.
And then the theme of fatherhood is yep. We talked about that last week as well. Okay. It is much more readily available in this movie, but there's a lot of fatherhood themes in both. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And what about connections to other movies that we've done this year?
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as what we've done this year, you can certainly put it in there with Man Who Shot Liberty Valance as far as what your legacy is, ooh, what your one. Legend is mm-hmm. in the place that you came from and the place that you're going. There's, a couple of stumbling alcoholic people carrying someone out of a bar back to their bed.
Also in Philadelphia Story that happens.
In Philadelphia
as well.
Story and in Liberty Valance. Yep. Alcohol plays major roles in both films. What else? Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to add some, but yeah, go ahead. Crazy car. Yep.
Yeah, crazy car chases or crazy incidences with cars in, Speed, The Sorcerer, and My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yep. I would also add, if you're talking about Speed, our main character is named Jack.
Good point.
We have a Jack. And then in both.
With the commitments, you have, someone trying to make a ragtag band of misfits a better team and come together to get great success.
Also, I would say with Always Be My Maybe, the, kind of going back to your roots from high school.
Yeah.
That main characters in Always Be My Maybe did that, and Jack does that. And I think Jack as a leader, tie back to some of our early movies like Life of Brian, Spartacus. Yeah. Man of Shot Liberty yep. Valance. So
also with Young Frankenstein, Victor is dealing with the legacy of his grandfather's work.
Oh yeah.
And you could say the same thing that, Jack is still battling with the legacy of his father in this film. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Can you imagine if we would have done Fitzcarraldo this week? with the boat that's stuck in the Suez Canal? Really, yes. I feel like every time I hear about that, I think of Fitzcarraldo and the boat going up the hill. And then when it goes and it's like banging against the sidewalls of the river at the end. So maybe we should replug that Fitzcarraldo podcast sometime.
Good podcast.
All right. Well, this is the tough part. What do you got for your movie map from last year?
So I was struggling and then it hit me.
Okay.
So I want to talk about a movie where a character is struggling with life and death and grief, mm-hmm. and that is Harold in Harold and Maude.
Oh, interesting.
There, you can draw a line from Jack's struggles with his own mortality, with his own legacy, with the death of his son, to the adolescent struggle of Harold in Harold and Maude. And at the end of the movie, they both decide that they want to live and get a fancy musical outro as Jack is playing basketball and Harold is dancing down the hill.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So there all you
right.
go.
I think mine is Top Gun. I think just kind of the team coming together, performing, kind
fathers
of that's what Top Gun. Yeah. There's fathers and sons. I feel like, was there any like alcoholism in that movie?
No, not really.
Okay. Yeah.
No, but Maverick is spending the whole movie trying to live up to the legend of his father.
There's a major death that comes midway through that movie, yep. which affects the main character as well.
So, good point. There you go.
All right. Well, that is the movie map, and that was our discussion of The Way Back. So 3.5 was our score. So let's move on to our listener connections and host connections. We can pick our movie for next week. So mm-hmm. The way we'll do it this week, since there's just two of us, is we will come up with a final four, and we'll decide from that final four based on connections sent in from the listeners and then us, your hosts. Once we do pick a movie, make sure you send us your feedback, themovieladder@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of the movie, what your rating is, and then what your connections off of next week's movie are. So we'll start with Jeff. And for the second week in a row, he's putting McFarland USA on the ladder. It says the story is about a coach who falls on hard times and finds success. This one is true, and the movie is so much better than The Way Back. Ooh, shots fired, Jeff. All right. Next one is A League of Their Own, an alcoholic manager rebounds. That is obviously played by Tom Hanks. And the third, this is one that I actually thought of too. Coach Carter. Coach returns back to his high school to coach and sees success. It's also based on a true story. This one stars Samuel L. Jackson as our head coach. I don't ever hear about people talk about Coach Carter, but I really liked it when it came out, and I think it dealt with a lot of themes that were relevant to society in like the early 2000s when it came out.
I did not see it, so I'd be interested.
Yep. All right, next we've got Olin. He said, Don't Look Now. That is from 1973. It is a classic film about parents dealing with the premature death of their child. Ooh, very uplifting. Next one is Spotlight from 2015, Catholic Church, intersection with the Utes. Then the third one that he nominated is The Lost Weekend. Best Picture Oscar winner and Cannes Film Festival winner, Billy Wilder, film starring Ray Milland, centered around an alcoholic and his struggles.
Interesting.
1945. All right. Megan, the librarian, sent in Manchester by the Sea, and Affleck has trouble coping with grief. I think also substance abuse issues. I definitely was thinking about Manchester by the Sea a lot in this movie. And I was thinking Manchester by the Sea versus The Way Back is like the two Affleck brothers trying like in a nose to nose race. Like,
yeah, you could almost call these mirror movies of each other.
Yeah. That was on my short list of movies.
Because you also don't really find out what happened with Casey Affleck in that movie till like halfway through, right?
Nope. Yep. Yeah. It takes a while till you find out. Yeah. You know he's struggling with stuff. He is being a father figure for a young child in that movie who he
Fantastic
sort of adopts.
Lucas Hedges' performance. Yeah. Love that kid.
Yes. So Manchester by the Sea was one. The next is Miracle, a sports coach movie directed by Gavin O'Connor.
Yep.
And her third suggestion was another movie that was on my short list that I thought about, and that is Gone Girl. She said, it was all I could think of during those Ben Affleck shower scenes. I was thinking about Gone Girl as well, just in terms of a Ben Affleck performance where his marriage to his wife falls apart. And definitely one of my favorite movies of the last, I guess it was almost 10 years ago that it came out, but like 5-6 years ago.
Very funny.
Some of her also-rans were The Faculty, because Al Madrigal was in that, who used to be on The Daily Show, and he plays the assistant coach in The Way Back. So Al Madrigal was not in The Faculty. Jon Stewart was in The Faculty, so the connection is the Daily Show character who plays
Daily Show teachers, yeah.
Yes, Jon Stewart was in The Faculty.
Yeah,
that's fun.
I like The Faculty. It's a stupid, fun movie, yeah.
Yeah, The Faculty was not nominated, though. And then Jim... Jim, let's see if he can go two in a row for getting his movies picked. Let's try another movie about an alcoholic recruited to coach high school basketball. No, it's not Hoosiers. It is the 2009 Sam Rockwell comedy, The Winning Season, and it is about girls basketball, and it's streaming on Amazon Prime.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I don't know anything about that movie, but I love Sam Rockwell.
Also, I do want to shout out, was it Michael J. Clark on Twitter who said that The Way Back is basically if you combine the two coaches in Hoosiers into one character? I'm kind of surprised nobody suggested Hoosiers.
I think it felt too obvious in the connection.
All right. Enough. Well, I'll go first this time.
Yeah, you go first this week because I went first last week. You should.
Yeah. All right. So the first is a title connection. So we just watched The Way Back. Why don't we watch the summer flick, The Way, Way Back?
Yep, it was on my short list.
Yeah. Have you seen The Way, Way Back? I love it.
I haven't.
Ooh, all right. So I am a huge fan of that movie.
That's why I was.
It's a summer movie. We're not quite a summer, but we are going to be in April next week, so we're almost
spring break, though. We're at spring break. Yeah.
Yep. The next is another Gavin O'Connor sports movie. This is Warrior. So this one is about UFC fighters. And I saw it when it first came out, but I've been meaning to revisit it because I've heard a lot of people talk about it recently. The third is another movie about it's a sports movie. And I think that there was a cast connection as well. And this is about somebody who is not struggling to play basketball, but struggling to to run a marathon, and that is Brittany Runs a Marathon. Michaela Watkins is in that as well. And I've heard it's very inspiring, and as a runner, I have been wanting to watch that. And then the final one is another movie where Ben Affleck plays a character named Jack, and that is Jack Ryan in The Sum of All Fears.
The Sum of All Fears.
I haven't seen that.
The lowest rated of all the Jack Ryans.
Yeah, sure. But I bet you it's not as bad as...
I bet it's not either as bad as I remember it being. Well, since you took the way, way back, I will suggest another movie with a similar title called The Way Back, which is a World War II movie that came out in 2010 starring Colin Farrell. I saw that and I was like, okay, I can't not nominate another movie that has
there's the another title. Movie with the exact same title.
Exact same title. It came out in 2010.
The Way Back really needed a different title.
It really did. Yeah. It really did. The next movie I wanted to suggest was a movie that actually is coming back up in the popular zeitgeist. It's about a coach who gets into a DUI, or actually it's a lawyer who gets into DUI and ends up having to coach a Pee Wee hockey team to do his public service. That's the Mighty Ducks. The Mighty Ducks Game Changers has debuted on Disney Plus, and I think it would be really fun to revisit the Mighty Ducks. Next up on my list, Ordinary People from 1980, which is about parents struggling with their grief over the loss of a child. Next up on my list, this is the only Ben Affleck one I'm going to nominate, because I think it's about time that school was out for summer, and we talked about Dazed and Confused, which deals with both people drinking excesses of alcohol and deciding whether or not they're going to play sports.
That would be interesting. So, Dazed and Confused is one I've never liked as much as everybody else. So it's one, there's a couple of those movies that I'm like, that I don't understand what the love is for them, and I think they'd be fun for me to revisit on the podcast. Another is No Country for Old Men, which I've been holding off on watching on my personal ladder because I think it would be more interesting to talk about on this podcast, even if I have to wait like a year or whatever to finally watch it. So, all right. Did you have any also-rans?
I did have some also-rans. Let me I thought about two.
I had another round, which I mentioned earlier, and The Accountant also, because another Gavin O'Connor with Ben Affleck, but
I tried to find a basketball movie I hadn't seen, so I saw the film Glory Road, which is about a basketball coach taking a struggling team on a winning streak.
The one about the first college basketball team with five black players to start.
That might be what it was.
I think is what it was.
I thought about Basketball Diaries with Leonardo DiCaprio, even though it's not a basketball movie. I just thought it would be a basketball.
I think it's similar to this, though, where it's more about his character and the struggles his character has, and then basketball is kind of a plot device.
Right. Yeah, that was very close to making my list, but I decided to go with Dazed and Confused. I also had Boys Town, which is a film starring Spencer Tracy about a Catholic school father who decides to start a school for boys. It's about the actual forming of Boys Town, the young youth program. And then I also had, what else did I have? That's all I had.
Cool. No, that's all I got. Why don't you go ahead and read off what we have?
Ooh, right. Let me scroll to the top. So we had McFarlane, USA, A League of Their Own, Coach Carter, Don't Look Now, Spotlight, which by the way, I love Spotlight. The Lost Weekend, Manchester, By the Sea, Miracle, Gone Girl, The Winning Season, The Way Back, The Mighty Ducks, Ordinary People, Dazed and Confused, The Way, Way Back, Warrior, Brittany Runs a Marathon, and The Sum of All Fears.
All right. You get to go first, and you have to pick either one of mine or one of the listeners.
I think that I am going to pick, from your list, and I'm going to take The Way, Way Back, because I haven't seen it, and you seem really excited about the fact that I haven't seen it, so.
Yeah, I was not sure which way you were going to go. I actually would have been happy with any of the four of my picks, which I guess is why I suggested them, but this was the one I was hoping that you would pick. And I will just plant my flag right now and say we're probably doing the way back next week.
Yeah. But, I thought about picking it at the end of my picks, but why leave the listeners in suspense?
Yeah.
All right. What do you have?
But we'll see. Maybe it's not streaming, and maybe there's something that we'll pick that's going to be streaming. Yeah. It's hard. Let's see. I guess I'll pick off of your list first, then we'll do listeners next. Let's see. I think it's between Mighty Ducks and Dazed and Confused, and I think Mighty Ducks could be fun.
I think Mighty Ducks would be really fun.
Yeah. And people are talking about the Mighty Ducks right now. Not game changers, just regular game for the Mighty Ducks. So I'll do that.
I need Ducks. Excellent. All right. And then I am going to pick one of the listeners, and I want to pick. I think I went with McFarlane USA last week, right?
I think so.
As one of my picks.
There's no rule against picking it twice.
That's true. That's also true. Actually, yeah, I'm gonna throw it in there again. I think, you know, good on you, Jeff. McFarlane USA. Let's see what happens.
All right. McFarland USA.
Actually, that may have gotten struck because it wasn't available, but find out.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll look them up. All right, so now I have to pick one from the listeners. Let's see. I think the closest connection is Coach Carter. So I think I'm going to pick that. I honestly think Manchester by the Sea is a great connection as well. I really don't want to watch. It's such a downer of a movie.
It's a lot. It's very heavy.
It's one of those, after I saw it, I was like, I'm very glad I saw this, and I do not want to watch it again. And I love Gone Girl, but I've seen Gone Girl at least twice already.
I absolutely love Gone Girl. And I've seen Spotlight enough. You know, I've seen Spotlight two or three times. And
yeah. So I'll go with Coach Carter, because I haven't seen that since it first came out. So I guess we're sticking with mostly sports movies, except The Way Back. So our final four, The Way Back, The Mighty Ducks, McFarland USA, and Coach Carter, two hockey movies, actually.
Yeah. On the list. There you go.
All right. So streaming wise, so The Mighty Ducks is on Disney Plus.
Yes.
And everything else looks like you are going to have to rent it.
Rent it.
Or get it from your library.
Yep.
Let's see. If you have Showtime, you can get Coach Carter on Showtime. I'm surprised The Way Back isn't streaming. It goes streaming for a very long time.
My main argument is going to be that we should choose either Mighty Ducks or Way Way Back, because we need some comedy. We haven't had a lot of comedy the last few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, between Sorcerer, Fitzcarraldo, The Commitment, Damn United, and The Way Back, there hasn't been a lot of good times in there.
I am totally down with getting into summer a little early. And doing The Way Back, especially because you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Although The Mighty Ducks, it's been a very long time since I've seen it. That could be fun as well.
It's zeitgeisty is the thing with Mighty Ducks. But at the same time, I don't want to just copy what other podcasters are doing right now.
Is anybody doing a Mighty Ducks pod? I mean, I know there's the Mighty Ducks pod on Post Show Recast. Is anybody doing a movie podcast for the Mighty Ducks?
No, not that I know of, but who knows? You know.
Yeah. Should we flip a coin?
I think that we should go with The Way Way Back. I mean, it was the first one that you and I both thought of. And, I mean, it was on my list.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. I think we should go with The Way Way Back. It's a fun play on the title to go with just a title connection. I think we should just go with The Way Way Back.
Well, and I just did the I Googled flip a coin because I don't have a coin to flip. And I assigned heads to Way Way Back and assigned tails to Mighty Ducks. And even though we said we weren't going to do it, it did come up heads. So we just have that's like our third vote, right? That's like the Av here.
Right.
We had our Google telling us we're doing The Way Way Back. So, we're going to do The Way Way Back. It is available. Unfortunately, you can rent it. You might be able to find it other places if you have access to different places. But I would recommend check out your local library. I'm going to check out the Ann Arbor library right now and see if The Way Way Back is available on there. Now there was this movie, there were like a couple summer movies that all came out right around the same time that are similar. Oh, look at that. It's available at the library. So
there you go.
Blu-ray is available. I'll be getting that.
Check your local library.
This one has, but it's got a great cast. Oh, it's got your guy, Sam Rockwell in it.
Love Sam Rockwell.
Yeah. Steve Carell, Toni Collette, Liam James plays the lead. I did not remember that it was Liam James. I do not know who that is.
Love Toni Collette.
Yep. So this, we're and not I think doing this is we wanted to get into. Yeah, we wanted to get into summer movies early. We could do that. This is about summer break. There are two very obvious connections. Right. So let's do the Way Way Back. It'll be fun. So, and it's a new one for you, and I'm excited.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, Allison Janney, Maya Rudolph, Amanda Peet, Rob Corddry. Yeah, this is a this is
everybody
a banger,
but the lead is like a big name in this movie.
It's a banger cast, yeah.
Except Liam James, who I guess was the kid in 2012.
Okay, got it.
And he was in Good Luck Chuck. I'm assuming he played a kid in Good Luck Chuck as well. So I am guessing. Chuck was what's his face? The Dane Cook was Chuck. Remember, Good Luck Chuck was about the guy who would date women and then they would get married after.
Gotcha.
All right. Well,
reviews are all over the place for this movie, so that also has me excited because, like, your brother and Film Spotting listener Ross gave it 4 and 4.5 stars, respectively, but then there are also people out there who gave it, like, 1, 2, 2.5. So I'm excited to see where this lands.
We'll see where you fall on that. Exactly. So next week we're doing the Way, Way Back. The connection is very simple. We're going from Way Back to Way, Way Back. Although, let's see if we find other... I think I can think of some other connections off the bat, but we'll see what other connections we'll come up with. Yeah. And then the week after we'll do the Way, Way, Way Back, maybe.
Is there a movie called Outback?
I'm sure there is. Yeah. Isn't there? Oh, no, that was Australia. That was what it was called. Yeah. All right. Well, Brennan, what are you going to watch this week?
Yeah, I don't really know what I'm going to be watching this week. Not a lot queued up. I'm hoping to get back to Battlestar Galactica. I've been slacking on that rewatch. I stopped at season 2 and haven't gotten back to it this week. In the last month or two. So I'm hoping to get back to that this week. And then, that's about it. Where I was talking about.
I don't know why, but I'm excited for Godzilla versus King Kong. I'm sure it's going to be terrible. For some reason, I'm excited to see it. I might be doing like a group Zoom watch on Thursday for it. But I need to watch the last Godzilla movie. I mean, but I would like to watch the last Godzilla movie. So I think I have to prioritize seeing that Godzilla movie that everybody says is terrible, one from like 2 years ago.
With Charles Dance.
With Charles Dance, the Tywin Lannister.
Yeah.
And like, I think Kyle Chandler's in it too. And the girl who plays Eleven in Stranger Things. Like, they just casted one person from each good TV show. They're like, okay, let's get somebody from The Sopranos, somebody from Breaking Bad. We'll see if those people are in there. I figure I'll check that out.
I look forward to your tweets or your chat messages about how bad it is.
I'm thinking about could I just put basketball on? Because there's basketball games on tonight. I'm like, could I just put basketball on my laptop and then watch Godzilla on my TV? I'm like, it probably doesn't need 100% attention, right? I could probably do both. So we'll see. All right. Well, next week we'll be back to talk about the Way, Way Back. Don't get confused. We are not doing the Way Back again. We are doing the Way, Way Back. It is a totally different movie. This one, I think, is from 2012, I believe. 2013. So, and sorry, it is not available streaming anywhere, but it'll be worth your couple bucks to rent. Or again, check your library. It's a great place to get that physical media.
So. I did try to find a movie that had Forward in the title, but I failed, aside from Pay It Forward, which we weren't going to watch.
Oh, yes. Why Forward?
Because it would be the opposite of the Way Back.
Oh, the Way Back, the Way Forward. Yes.
Yeah.
Pay It Forward. I liked Pay It Forward back when it came out. I'm sure it's terrible now, but doesn't all right. Hold up. Well, hop in, Brendan. We're going on summer vacation.
The Way Back
coming up next week.
Yep. I look forward to it.
All right.
We have to go way, way back. Damn it. I just thought of it. We have to go way, way back. Oh, no.